Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Second down and 20. Burrow catches a shotgun snap, pump fakes, and Joe will be sacked at the 35-yard line. Eric Armstead pulling him down by the feet.
Four Jaguars are around him. I mean, all four of the Jaguars are within an arm's length of Joe Burrow.
And Burrow's limping.
Yeah, you can't have that.
Limping badly.
I mean, you just can't... You can't do that and give your quarterback...
Joe takes his helmet off and sits down on the turf.
Thank you to Bengals Radio. That's what it sounded like in real time. Joe Burrow getting hurt, hurting his foot, his toe on that sack by Eric Armstead. Pearl needed help getting off the field, falling to a heap. We found out this morning from ESPN, Joe Burrow needs surgery on that turf toe. He's out a minimum of 3 months, takes us to the middle of December. Just horrible news if you're the Bengals. Obviously, that offensive line is not fixed. But can the Bengals still make the playoffs even if Joe Burrow's out for 3 months?
Yeah, I'm going against the grain. I say absolutely. Because Jake Browning's a high-end backup quarterback. You're throwing to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Those guys are awesome. I think that their offense is still going to have moments this season. Now, can their defense hold up? Probably not. But I think that they're going to be in the mix. I do not see them being out of it. And hopefully, if Joe Burrow gets back in December, he can help with a late season push. So I'm not by any means counting the Bengals out of the playoffs. They're 2-0 for the first time. I mean, usually they're 0-2 at this point. So I don't feel like it's all a loss here.
Yeah, I can't get there today. And I'm sorry, Bengal fans. I want to be a little more optimistic, but your defense is not like it was a couple years ago when Lou Anarumo had the secret formula for stopping the Chiefs. I don't know what it was. He was great at it. You don't have that kind of ferocious defense anymore, even though Trey Hendrickson was really good at the end of the game yesterday in closing out the Jags. So your defense is not nearly good enough. And yeah, you had trouble making the playoffs when Joe Burrow was an MVP candidate and you could not make the playoffs. So now you're going to ask Jake Browning to go in there and somehow keep this thing afloat. I think you're asking way too much, even if he's a high-end backup. You know, there's been a couple of those, Pearl, that have had memorable moments like Nick Foles for your Philadelphia Eagles and stuff like that. I don't see this kind of Cinderella story happening. For Jake Browning, the last time that he had to play significant games when Joe Burrow was hurt a couple years ago, he went 4-3. The Bengals finished the season 9-8 and finished in the last place in the division. So
if my math is right, he was better than Burrow that year.
Well, maybe.
Because if he was 4-3, that means that Burrow was 5-5.
But then that's the signature 0-2 start that you can always count on for the Bengals, which they haven't done this year. I don't love this. And it just is such a bummer because Joe Burrow is phenomenal to watch and he's one of the best quarterbacks, you know, in the league. But also, you know, last year just was such a waste. Like Joe Burrow was so good, Pearl, and they couldn't even make the playoffs because their defense was so bad. And now, you know, you just never know with him. It's not that he's injury prone. How could you have seen this coming? It's not like a soft tissue injury or something like hamstrings, but This is just devastating for the Bengals.
Well, part of the reason they were bad last year is their schedule was insanely brutal. So it's hot and cold here. Late in November, they go to Baltimore and to Buffalo. Count those as two L's. I think those are very, very hard trips. But I see a lot of games they're going to compete in. Starting this week, they're 4.5-point dogs at Minnesota. I just don't know about Minnesota after last night. Like I'm shocked by that spread.
We are asking you, can the Bengals still make the playoffs if Joe Burrow is going to be out for 3 months. And by the way, that's minimum 3 months is what they're saying. So that gets you to mid-December, which is week 15. If the Bengals, let's say, I mean, are we even sure that he'll be ready to go by then? I know that the in vogue thing to do is to even come back early from injuries, but don't you have to force through the trees this thing? It's Joe Burrow is your franchise. You know, you don't rush him back.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely not. I kind of always thought you would play through turf toe. That's how I understood the injury. I did not know. It must have been very severe. He must have torn that ligament up. Or even, yeah.
And it's the left toe, so it's like his front foot, right?
Yeah, I mean, Brock Purdy obviously is playing through it. I don't know the calculus. I don't know the calculus here, but I was very surprised that it was surgery. When it first happened, I thought actually it might have been his Achilles when he tore it because he'd been having some, the word calf had been mentioned with Joe Burrow. So at least it's not that because he can recover quickly from this. Like an Achilles can be a 2-year injury. I'm trying to be glass half full here, Meg.
Sorry, we're going to get to NFL in 60 in a second, but I'm just seeing one other thing from Adam Schefter. Schefter's saying that the Bengals have been calling free agent quarterbacks since the injury. Now, obviously, that'd be to be Browning's backup, I assume. Like, I think they're just going to give it to Browning, but is there someone on the couch right now who's going to help them?
Oh, well, Derek Carr said he might come back.
Yes, he did say that.
Man, remember the last time Derek Carr was in Cincinnati? That was a bad game.
Mm. Do you remember who said on the show in the spring, don't count Derek Carr out despite his retirement?
I think that was Andrew Perloff.
It was Andrew Perloff. Wow.
Yeah.
Andrew Perloff, everybody.
Who's the other one? Tom Brady was kidding around with Gronk that they should come back.
Brady just tells Burkhart, kick rocks.
Let's get Archie back. Why don't we just bring Archie
in? Yeah, again, Tom Brady, the NFL has bent over so far backwards for this guy. He's like, well, you can own the Raiders. You can call games for Fox and play quarterbacks for Cincinnati. Why not? You're Tom Brady.
How about this all-time QB? You get to play both QB sides or whoever the Bengals are playing.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's phone just rang.
Mm.
Yeah, who's on the couch? Can you guys look that up?
I thought they always call Kurt Warner for some reason. Remember for a while he kept getting called.
Kurt Warner?
Remember for a while he kept getting calls. And he's like, yeah, they keep calling me. I don't want to play.
What's Josh
Drew Brees, too. Another guy.
What about Kirk Cousins?
Oh, he's not on the couch. He's holding a clipboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother said that they should call the Browns.
We actually had a Shador update over the weekend.
The Browns are a mess because now they need Kenny Pickett. Like, why did the Browns trade Kenny Pickett? Because Flacco, all right, I was wrong. I thought he looked okay in week one. Week two, it's not there. Now the Browns ironically need Kenny Pickett. We're going to get Bailey Zappi in before Shador. What about Taylor Heinicke lost his job to Trey Lance? I feel like that is your answer. Taylor Heinicke.
Answer to what?
Who is the perfect man to break backup Jake Browning? That would be Taylor Heinicke. Also a guy who could be 500 as a backup. What's wrong with Taylor Heinicke?
Bengals' third string guy? Is it worse than Taylor Heinicke?
Carson Palmer.
No, he doesn't want anything to do with them. Stand by.
I don't see a quarterback. Yeah, they have to get a quarterback.
Okay. That's the latest. Joe Burrow's out for 3 months minimum with turf toe. Can they still make the playoffs? He's going to have surgery. Let's get to the NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
All right, well, we basically did the Cincinnati Bengals game right there, even though the Jags fans have a reason to be upset about a seem like kind of a phantom call against Travis Hunter at the end of the game.
A lot of drops too, but okay.
All right. EJ, who do we got first?
All right, let's go to MetLife where the Bills beat the Jets 30-10, outgained gangrene by about 250 total yards.
Go Bills.
Yeah, I mean, listen, dominant game from Buffalo, even Josh Allen playing through a broken nose. They play Thursday now against the Dolphins, but here's my bigger takeaway. It's not really Buffalo though. James Cook looked unreal. It's about the Jets. A little fool's gold that first week against Pittsburgh. I know that Justin Fields got a concussion. I thought that, or he was tested for a concussion. I thought he was going to maybe be a little of a stabilizing force here for the Jets, but I don't know if this was just maybe too big of a step.
Yeah, I had Justin Fields starting my fantasy lineup. I know no one wants to hear about my fantasy lineup over Jordan Love. That will never happen again. He did have a really sweet run, though, but... Yeah, I feel, and they go to Tampa Bay next week. It's going to be hard for this Jets team.
You would think 450 passing yards would be enough for a Big Blue, but It was not in Dallas as Brandon Arbery calls game. Cowboys win 40-37 in overtime.
Yeah, I think that it's really interesting. 450 yards for Russell Wilson, 3 touchdowns. At one point was almost perfect on the day. I think he bought a lot of time here to keep Jackson Dart off the field, like maybe at least till halfway through the season. So I don't know if that's good or bad for Giants fans, but I came away impressed. And also, the Cowboys offense is good. There's no doubt about it. That's the real deal.
Russell Wilson had all the time in the world to rack up 450 yards. I wonder what the Cowboys defense is missing. Huh. Well, someone to get after the quarterback. That's not a shock. Listen, Dak's going to have to be MVP-like numbers if they're going to win games this year, because they're going to have to score into the 30s probably to win any game.
Well, I don't know. He wasn't the MVP in that game. That was Russ. Dak was good. I mean, Dak, yeah, I think Pickens is interesting. Will he be like the legit two? Because CeeDee Lamb's uncoverable. I don't know how you stop that guy. So it's going to be a lot of Pickens, and Pickens really came on in the fourth quarter, I thought. But he made some mistakes early in the game. That's the one I'm watching.
They felt betrayed, and they made Ben Johnson pay. Lions beat up on the Bears 52-21.
Yeah, all-time bad spot here for Ben Johnson. You go back and play your former team where you were the offensive coordinator, and there were questions about whether the offense was going to be able to run the same now that betrayed. You were out of the building, and they hung 52 on your butt. So that's not great. And Caleb Williams only looked okay in some throws, but not nearly enough to stay competitive in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I put a lot of that on the O-line, too. Caleb Williams, like, really needs a lot of help. I'm going to be honest. He's 23. He's learning a new system. You got to put him in good positions. And I think that's, you know, that's a big disappointment to me with the Bears, is that they put all this money into the interior of their O-line, and yet their run game looked good early and then just disappeared later.
Cam Ward threw his first touchdown, but it was not enough for the Titans to beat the Rams at home. Rams win 33-19.
Cam Ward is good. He's really good.
Yeah, he is.
The receivers are not great there. And Tony Pollard, he's hot and cold as well. I don't know what to make of the Rams. Davante Adams showed up big time this week. They feel really, really good. But both the weeks, like, for a long time, their offense kind of stalled. They came into halftime at 10 points against the Titans. It looked like, oh man, we're going to have another repeat of the Texans game from week one. So I'm impressed by LA's defense. I am a little worried about their offense.
Yeah, this guy Landman, Nate Landman.
Yeah, which he doesn't want to be called Landman.
Oh, he doesn't?
It's Landman, and everyone calls him Landman because of the Billy Bob Thornton show.
Yeah,
and he's
exactly.
Like, stop calling me Landman.
Oh, come on. You got to embrace it, Landman. This is a Super Bowl caliber defense, the Rams, no doubt about it. And Davante Adams looks rejuvenated. So it's exciting times in LA if Matthew Stafford can stay healthy.
Dolphins fall to 0-2. They lose at home to the Patriots 33-27.
This looked so much worse for the Dolphins at halftime, or actually right out of the gate when they went down. Yeah. They actually went down, was it 12-0, right? Because Miami missed both extra points, point afters. This was a dumb game from Miami. Really dumb from Tua also. Like, overthrows, the bad interception. I mean, there was just so much to pick apart. They looked at least like they were trying. And also, this game was almost unwatchable because there was 22 penalties combined in this game.
Whoa. Well, a couple of things. Tua's final line was amazing. 26 for 32, 315 yards, 2 TDs, and 1 pick. And by the way, the pick was on fourth down, and he was like, there were bodies all around him. You do not want Tua running around and making throws. Like, he should have been probably sacked on that play. The Dolphins had the win. Achan runs down the field. He stepped out of bounds at the 26. If you're in the building and you didn't know that he stepped out of bounds, you felt like you got the go-ahead touchdown. Brutal, brutal loss. I feel bad for Mike McDaniel.
Why?
Because, like, he inherited a messy roster.
He's been there for 3 years. It's his team.
Yeah, I don't know. There was a lot of, wasn't there a Fire Chris Greer banner along with a Fire Chris Mike McDaniel banner flying over the stadium?
That is correct. Mm. Who? Mac Jones. Niners beat the Saints 26-21 in the Superdome.
So, yeah. Mac was a mess to start. He was kind of all over the place. Totally stabilized. Had 113 passer rating. Spencer Rattler also makes some nice throws. That was exactly what I expected. Just a serviceable Mac Jones W. I would hesitate to say that means he's going to be good against good teams. He was fine. I've told you, he's totally fine.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. I mean, it looks the same. Honestly, it does. It looks the same as it does with Brock Purdy.
He can't move like Brock Purdy. That is one slight difference. He had 6 carries for 6 yards.
That's 1 yard to carry, guys.
That's so, math right there.
It puts a little pressure. Like, wait till he gets against a good defense. He's a bit of a sitting duck back there. So we'll see. That's what Brock gives you a little more of.
All right. The Steelers will outscore 24-3 in the second half. Seahawks come behind to beat Pittsburgh 31-17 on the road.
So this, to me, is the stuff that drives Steeler fans absolutely bonkers. It's the play not to lose crap that they do. So before the special teams gaffe, Pearl, where the punt returner kind of let the ball go in the end zone. Was it a punt or a kick? Now I can't remember.
Kick return.
Kick return goes through into the end zone. Guy doesn't know the rules. So Seattle falls on it. Just debacle, okay? But before that, there was a 4th-and-1 in plus territory, and Mike Tomlin punted. Like, dude, you have Aaron Rodgers now. I know he's not scrambling like Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, but, like, you have to be able to think you can get a yard with Aaron Rodgers. And then this happens, and then they find themselves behind the eight ball, and Aaron Rodgers can't bring him back. So,
can I introduce you, Maggie, to a man named Mike Tomlin? Have you ever met this guy?
I have, but yeah. You could always say, well, they don't have a good quarterback, so, like, it can be justifiable, but their defense isn't as good as it used to be either.
I am just thrilled that we're 2 weeks into the Seattle Sam Darnold experiment. We still don't have the slightest idea if Sam Darnold is any good. I can watch him play 50 games.
Pearl, you'll never know.
Okay, it's like the Bermuda Triangle.
It's like Derek Carr.
Derek Carr was our Bermuda Triangle of quarterback evaluation. Sam Darnold's not far behind because he made some terrible plays and a lot of good ones.
Well, LeBron said it was easy to tackle Derrick Henry. He did only get 23 yards, but it was apparently very, very hard to stop the Ravens from scoring 41 points as the Browns lose to the Ravens 41-17.
I feel so bad for Myles Garrett. Like, he's amazing. Like, can you possibly be 0-17 and win Defensive Player of the Year? Does that ever happen? Because I know he wanted to get out of there. He should have taken less money and left because he was... I watched a lot of that game for some reason, and he's great. The Ravens, though, obviously total control the whole time.
Yeah, see, it's funny because at halftime, I thought the Ravens were in some real trouble. Well, they had a drive where they're at the 1 yard line, first and goal, and had to settle for a field goal. Then they get an interception of Joe Flacco on the other end. They're down the same exact thing. They're at the 2 yard line. First and goal, no good. Second and goal, no good. Third and goal. They had to go for it on 4th and goal, and they finally got a touchdown. Like, Cleveland was making their lives miserable, and then halftime happened, and then adjustments happened, and it was over.
Yeah, but was there a moment where you thought Joe Flacco was going to move the ball?
No, which is, I don't understand why Joe Flacco is still playing quarterback for them. Dylan Gabriel. Let's go.
Well, we'll get into that later, because not far behind Dylan. Could be Shador time.
Okay, Dylan, Shador,
Bailey,
Perloff, EJ, Manny. Let's just put someone in there.
I get there.
Indiana Jones turns Lucas Oil Stadium to a temple of doom for the Broncos as the Colts steal one 29-28.
Should have never won this game. This should have been a Broncos win. I'll maintain that. It was a leverage penalty on a field goal that the Colts kicker had missed at first. Gives him 15 yards and a re-kick. Then he makes it. Colts win this one 29-28. I am not saying that Daniel Jones is back. I'm not doing that yet.
Wait, he had a very good game.
Very good game, but let's see what happens with the Broncos here. I think something was going on with their defense, and I'm not only crediting Indianapolis with that. Week one, they played against Miami, who was a no-show. This one was a little bit more impressive, but I'm still waiting to see on DJ.
Do you think the Colts will have a winning record? They've been 8-9 with Gardner Minshew's and Carson Wentz, and like they've done it with a lot of quarterbacks. So I think they will have a winning record, which is something. Like, that's a start, and they could even be even better than that. Tyler Warren, by the way, he's awesome. They got to get rid of that leverage rule or do something about it because you can't decide a game.
Despite their greatest efforts, the Cardinals did find a way to hold on and beat the Panthers in the 4 o'clock window. Cardinals beat Carolina 27-22.
If you want a deceiving stat line, look at Bryce Young. 328 passing yards, 3 TDs, and 1 interception. Are we going to give some sort of participation trophy award for Bryce Young? Nice effort, little guy. I mean, reminds me of last year where we had a bunch of L's. We're like, he looks good. I mean, this game was ridiculous. The Cardinals had this one easily, and somehow, I don't even know how, like Carolina. Then Carolina has a chance to win it with the final drive, and Bryce Young gets sacked for a total of 83 yards.
Yeah. He was, like, face down, too. It was bad. And I think the Panthers are now becoming that team that if you're in a survivor pool, just take whatever team is playing the Panthers?
Maybe.
Next week's is the Falcons, so that's dicey, but...
I mean, have you ever seen a thinner 2-0 than the Arizona Cardinals beating the Saints and the Panthers?
Schedule wins.
It was a rematch of the Super Bowl, and it turned out to be kind of the same. Eagles, no blow-up. They do beat the Chiefs 2017.
Carl, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I want the tush push to be in here. That kind of made the game boring. There was a lot of tush pushing going on. I credit both defenses. The Eagles, I know you're not necessarily a super fan of Nick Sirianni, but they win the game they're in. I'll give them that credit. I think a lot, they have a great defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio. I give him a lot of credit. Did you guys see Sirianni throw the red flag?
Oh, yeah. He launched that thing like he was in center field.
Yeah, I feel like he's having a moment. I mean, they're 2-0. I don't think they're as dominant as last year. The offense kind of sputtered yesterday. But I admit that was a little hard on the eyes that game.
Isn't it the worst?
Yeah, finally. Thank you, Pearl, for waking up.
Now, I'm not saying get rid of it, because there's no rationale for getting rid of it. I know there was a couple missed false starts, but it's just it is a little boring. I blame the Chiefs, though, for being so darn boring on offense.
Yeah, this is a referendum, really, on the Chiefs. I mean, it's hard because they're missing their two top receivers. I get that, but you still have Mahomes. You still have Andy Reid. Kelce with another mistake in the red zone, this time coughing up a catch that turned into a big turnover. I don't know about the Chiefs. I think all that football is catching up with them. This is a team that's been in at least the AFC Championship game, if not the Super Bowl, for the last 6 years.
Must we see more J.J. McCarthy in primetime? Apparently, we have two more games with the Vikings in primetime. Falcons beat the Vikings 22-6. Two picks for young J.J.
How did our friends at the NFL office schedule this for Sunday night, Maggie?
I think it's the Monday night doubleheader that's throwing things off, or maybe the fact that Eagles-Chiefs was at 4. Eagles-Chiefs should have been Sunday night, not Vikings Falcons, right?
Why put the Cowboys-Giants on Sunday night and get millions of people to go in? I think maybe the second-year quarterback showdown. I don't even, honestly, I don't even know. This game was impossible to watch. It was just a lot of Bijan Robinson and both quarterbacks. Like, there was no vertical offense.
Yeah, I'm tempted just to go to the phones right now, EJ. That was our last one, right? Because we got the doubleheader tonight. So Nate's on the horn from Iowa. Nate was at the game last night. Nate, your big takeaway from watching Michael Penix v. J.J. McCarthy was what, sir?
Geez. I mean, I still say to this day, you know, U.S. Bank has the best home field advantage in the NFL. That place was rocking for the first quarter. I mean, three false start penalties for Atlanta to start. Atlanta wouldn't have won that game without Bijan Robinson. But, you know, my takeaways, both quarterbacks looked equally bad. And this is coming from a Vikings fan. You know, both interceptions that J.J. had last night and even the one last week to Nashawn Wright, it's these out routes that he's missing. I don't know if it's arm strength or if it's just a timing deal, but I see a quarterback that has happy feet in the pocket. Mm. He's wanting to run. He's not really taking it, you know, whether Kevin O'Connell needs to get some other plays in there for him. But I had questions about this Vikings team even to begin the year with, and especially on defense. I mean, Bijan last night just carved him up on that defensive front. And there's really some big question marks in that secondary. I think they overpaid Byron Murphy. Isaiah Rogers has been a journeyman wide receiver or a journeyman corner. And now you're bringing in two of the best wide receiver combo in the NFL into Minnesota next weekend. You know, I think you said Minnesota's a 4.5-point favorite right now. I'd take Cincinnati.
Wow, you want the backup quarterback. Nate, you know, and thank you for calling. It is a great home field for Minnesota, no doubt. But for me, J.J. McCarthy, is it the happy feet? It's the turnovers. I mean, two interceptions. He lost a fumble as well. He fumbled the ball three times, recovered two of them, lost one. You can't win that way. And he's played 8 quarters of football, Pearl, and 7 of them have been terrible.
So why are they feeding Justin Jefferson more? Justin Jefferson had an injury in camp, right? And that there's some speculation that he's not 100%, but I could throw to Justin Jefferson. I think the opponent knows that. It's interesting that Nate said that the Cincinnati has the best receiving core, because I think a lot of people thought Minnesota might have the best receiving core.
Well, but Addison's still out, no?
Yeah, third game. Well, is he? Yeah.
This will be the last game he's suspended.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like you really need Justin Jefferson. I'm surprised by that spread. I'll bet you that comes down during the week. Because Minnesota looked so dead on offense last night. Their run game isn't scaring anybody. Defense, they seem to be drafting a lot of pass rushers. Like Dallas Turner finally got a sack last night, and they have Grenard. But, yeah, I think this is going to be a really interesting game. I kind of agree with Nate. I like Cincinnati.
888-710-4ISN. All right, that's your NFL in 60. Again, the breaking news this morning is that Joe Burrow needs surgery on turf toe. He will be out for at least 3 months. Coming up next, we get to that news item about Shedeur Sanders and another mistake made during the draft. Maggie and Perloff.
Don't forget, you know I had two sons, right?
Welcome back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shedeur fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Maggie and Perloff Show, I got a stat for you via Adam Schefter of ESPN. Coming into this year, the Bengals had won just one game in weeks 1 and 2 over the past 6 seasons under Zach Taylor. Now at 2-0, they have more wins this year than the previous 6 seasons combined. What a morning in Cincinnati, Maggie. They have more wins this year than they've ever had early in the season.
Well, if that was the end of the story,
that's the end of the story. I don't know what else there is. That's all Schefter tweeted.
Yeah,
something else.
If that was just the end of the story, then maybe they'd be fine. But unfortunately, the story continues, which is Joe Burrow needs surgery on his toe. He suffered a toe injury, taking a sack yesterday in their narrow win against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And
kind of a miraculous win.
Yeah, kind of. And honestly, if you're a Jags fan, you have every reason to be ticked off about how that game ended. Yeah, I don't know which fan base is more peeved today. Is it Jacksonville or is it the Denver Broncos? Both teams got hosed on what I thought were bad calls at terrible times. But meanwhile, the bigger story, though, is Joe Burrow out till mid-December, minimum, Pearl, because turf toe now needs surgery.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and rightfully so, criticism of the Bengals not investing enough in their offensive line to protect their golden goose, Joe Burrow. I think that's accurate. I think the Bengals have a lot of organizational problems. I don't think they've supported Joe Burrow the way Baltimore has with Lamar Jackson or even Buffalo with Josh Allen. So this, to me, comes down on the organization.
Let's get to Andrew Bogus, who's got the latest headlines for us. That's a big one, Bogues.
Yes, this little piggy went to market. That one went to the OR. Anyone who breaks NFL news has tweeted in the last hour that Joe Burrow will have surgery for the turf toe injury to his left big toe that he suffered yesterday afternoon against the Jags. Burrow, as you've been mentioning, expected to miss at least 3 months, making this the third long-term injury of his career. Jake Browning played the last 2+ quarters yesterday, overcoming 3 picks to lead a 15-play, 92-yard game-winning TD drive against those Jags. Now, two Sundays ago, Younghoe Koo missed a makeable tying field goal, and the Falcons lost their opener to the Bucs. So Atlanta signed Parker Romo and had him compete with Koo last week. Only Romo went to Minnesota for Sunday Night Football and hit 5 field goals in a 22-6 Falcon win.
Special teams.
Melissa Stark then introduced him to the guys he just kicked to victory post-game on NBC.
And I know you're learning your teammates' names. You know their names, right?
I know Bijan.
This is Leonard Floyd over here. You guys want it? Nice to meet you. Back to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Leonard Floyd's played for a few teams over the last few years.
Bijan to the right. Floyd to the left, Chris Collinsworth loved it, and the two guys did actually shake hands. Yeah, like they were the just meeting for the first time.
You could fit two of that kicker into Leonard Floyd.
At least.
It was like it was a Manute Bol, Muggsy Bogues situation. Yeah, he was so much bigger.
Ian Eagle and JJ Watt too.
I actually came away from that. I'm like, wow, Leonard Floyd's very nice in this situation. He's like, and Leonard Floyd used to be really scary.
Yeah, well, don't miss a kick and you're fine.
Yeah. Did anyone know coming into that clip went a little viral last night that Leonard Floyd was a Falcon?
Nope.
When they announced his name in the opening.
Yeah.
No introductions on Sunday Night Football.
Yep. He had one of their six sacks of J.J. McCarthy, who also threw two picks and lost a fumble in his second career start. The Viking offense only crossed midfield three times again in this 22-6 loss at home.
You know what's crazy about that? Don't you feel like with the new kickoff rules, guys are...
It's easier.
Guys, I feel like every drive basically starts at the 40.
It's changed the game completely. I don't know if they meant to do that, but it's a total... It's cheat code for offense. You're right. How can you not score? I mean, we look at there's so many games at the end. Like you need basically 18 seconds to go the length of the field now. But you start at the 35 or 40.
Well, how about that? And if you have a kicker like Brandon Aubrey, who I don't know if you're going to get to that in this update. I know painful for the Giants fans here, but
so I wasn't.
You get to midfield. You're basically in field goal enough. Range. The guy can hit if he can hit from 65.
Yeah. The announcers rightly pointed out, they're like, do the Giants understand that Brandon Aubrey's on the other side? They were playing like old, kind of like, don't let him get to the 35. You can't even let the Cowboys get to midfield. They had a funny line, like a 60-yarder. Oh, that's a chip shot for Brandon Aubrey. It's like extra point.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I saw during the Giants-Cowboys game, this is the most kickoff returns for kickoffs that we have gotten since 2010. So, I mean, they've really made a change in all of this, and I love it. I mean, we got a 90-yard kickoff return. When was the last time we got a 90-yard kickoff return?
Back-to-back.
Back-to-back.
Oh, it was awesome. I love it.
But same.
With Aubrey, so the 64-yarder to force overtime was ridiculous, and it was going to be, I mean, it hit the net from 64.
Yeah, but
Schottenheimer called a draw play, play before. It wasn't even trying to get extra yards, really.
But then the game winner, which was 46, which used to be 460 feet, he just kind of like flicked it. It wasn't even full strength. He just finessed it through.
I say that's the biggest change that from football from when I was a kid to now. And not just because spare your jokes about wide right.
No, but you're right.
But guys were not making routine 47-yarders back then.
Right. I mean, I played that highlight as a jerk for one of the great debates, and the clip is like, it's 48 yards. Like, he was in a different zip code. And 48, like, you can almost do left-handed, like, left-footed Aubrey could make.
I mean, how bad of a footy player was Brandon Aubrey?
Oh, the fact that he's not a professional soccer player?
Yeah, I mean, good Lord, buddy. Get back on the pitch.
This is the only thing Jerry has gotten right in, like, 3 years.
Hey-o.
He's been good with the kickers every now and then. He finds one of these guys that can hit from, like, 60. I don't know what it is.
But this guy did nothing. Like, it's one thing to go get, like, Greg Zuerlein right for a second.
Yeah,
we joked he signed this guy off a soccer field, and it's worked. Every other innovative thing he has tried has been an embarrassment. This one he was right on somehow.
Hey, you win games via special teams, man. Everybody knows that. Special teams win championships.
He loves punts.
He wants to be me so bad.
Manny's Cowboys.
Still to come here in week two, the Texans host the Bucs 7 Eastern tonight. The Raiders host the Chargers at 10. There was some Mets slander earlier this morning, so I would like to point out that they actually didn't lose yesterday.
Runners lead first and second. Curvelo's 1-1. Driven in the air to right field, sending Garcia back. He turns and looks. This one is gone! The Mets win it on a walk-off home run by Pete Alonso. A 5-2 final in 10. And oh, what it feels like for the Mets to win again.
It had been a while. Keith Rad, Mets Radio. Pete Alonso's 3-run homer ending their 80-game losing streak. 5-2 in 10 over the Rangers. In true Alonso fashion, he almost tripped as he got to home plate celebrating. And then he said this on SNY postgame.
That one felt amazing. I felt like I was surfing on top of a dragon there. That was sick.
You know, when you're surfing on top of a dragon.
As one does.
Oh, yes. That's very relatable, Pete.
My Lord.
Does he have kids who are watching How to Train Your Dragon?
No, but his wife is pregnant. So maybe
is she?
I think he's just watching cartoons just for the hell of it.
Right. By the way, he has the same maturity level of the kid who would be watching How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, definitely. He's going to be a great dad probably for that. I said it's like rooting for a Labrador Retriever.
But I'm
good little guy.
I'll tell you what. You guys are in the best position. You Mets fans.
No, the Giants and the Reds.
You have nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. Back to me. You have nothing to lose.
Back to football. Yeah. Get him off this.
Two college football coaches lost their job yesterday amid 0-3 starts. Deshaun Foster at UCLA, Brett Pry at Virginia Tech. They will get respectively $5 and $6 million to not work. And the New York Liberty outlasted the Mercury 76-69 in overtime in Phoenix yesterday to start their best of three first round series. But Breanna Stewart hurt her left knee in extra time, could not finish the game for New York.
New York City is a women's basketball city now.
Amen. For 17 days, for those who don't follow Manny on Twitter, I mean, don't start, but he is counting down to the Knicks preseason game in Abu Dhabi.
October 2nd against the Sixers in Abu Dhabi, 17 days until the Knicks play a basketball game. Thank you, because I can't do this anymore with the Yankees and the Giants.
Loudest cry of help ever cried. Counting down to Knicks preseason games.
Cry of help, or is it passion?
Help.
I think it's passion. Thank you very much. Sorry, I show some passion for something for once in my life.
We do have an update on one of the many poll questions that we have for you at Maggie and Pearl on X. Who wins first, the New York Giants or the New York Jets?
Jets edging them out.
Or the Knicks. Actually, that'd be a funny third option.
It's the New York Knicks, damn it.
The Jets edging out the Giants there. Now, the Giants do play the Chiefs next week.
Sunday Night Football.
I feel like that's a cheat code. If you get Tyrod Taylor for the Jets, then of course you're going to win games. I mean, that's not fair. That's not the principle of the bet.
You think Justin Fields getting benched?
Well, he's hurt. Yeah. I mean, Tyrod Taylor, you can see in 3 seconds, he's a professional level quarterback. You know, Maggie. He comes in and wins games. That's all that guy does.
That is true.
Yeah, I was counting on trying to develop the offense with Justin Fields. I don't know how bad. That seemed like a pretty bad concussion because he didn't come back, right? Or is that just because of a blowout?
No, I mean, maybe it was a little bit, but they said when he was going to the locker room, they were still evaluating him. So it wasn't because he was concussed yet. At least they didn't know for sure. But I just thought they pulled the plug on the game. They were just
could
like,
be. Okay.
Yeah, awesome. Go to the locker room. We'll figure this out. But you're not coming back.
Okay, so we've got some injured QBs. None more injured than Joe Burrow, who is going to have season...
altering.
Yeah, season delaying. Or, well, not delaying. He already started. But it's going to be 3 months.
Joe Burrow's.
Minimum that he's going to be out because he's having surgery on turf toe. Left foot, left toe.
Please.
Now, there's a question about maybe the Bengals should go out and get some more reinforcements at the quarterback position. Is Shedeur Sanders a possible fit? We'll get to that and the news we learned about Shedeur next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shedeur fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, while you think about the bets you want to come clean on, all the bets we lost over the weekend, and your girl took a couple L's, how about this story about Shedeur Sanders that came out from Adam Schefter before the game started yesterday, I believe? And it was the story that the Baltimore Ravens were going to select Shedeur with pick 141. They had the third pick in the fifth round. And Shedeur, and by extension, you would imagine Dion and the whole camp, said do not draft Shedeur because they wanted to go to a place where he would have any chance to play. Obviously, behind Lamar Jackson, that's not going to happen except for an injury. And so he said, please don't take me to the Ravens. And the Browns took him, what was it, four picks later with pick one, or three picks later, excuse me, with pick 144.
Well, I'm sorry. The logic's dead on. Like, when is he going to play in Baltimore?
Oh, this is still how they don't get it. This is still how Shedeur and Dion don't get it.
Lamar's got 12 more years of football left.
Exactly. So wouldn't you rather start your career, right? You're in the fifth round now. This isn't before the draft started. This is the fifth round. You're sinking like a stone. You don't want to go to a proper organization. You don't want to go and learn from the two-time MVP, how he prepares, how he took himself from someone who dropped, not nearly like Shador, but Lamar Jackson was answering questions, can't even play quarterback in the league, and barely made it in the first round and turned himself into an MVP. You're not playing anyway when you're a fifth-round quarterback, right? We've talked about that. Well, the odds are so stacked against you that you'd actually be starting in your rookie year.
He will definitely be starting in his rookie year.
Well, but is that even for the better? So you're going to a Cleveland team that stinks, that's a graveyard for quarterbacks?
I don't know that he knew for sure it was going to be Cleveland in that story, right? He says, don't draft me here. I mean, he would have had to... I think, you don't want to wait for your second team to play quarterback.
He's 24 years old. Anyway, most likely.
No, the way the schedule lays out, he could come in week 10, and then he does have that Baltimore team, but he's got a lot of winnable games the second half. Like, I get it. Like, why would you want to back up Lamar Jackson? What's the point? Like, to spend 4 years there and then go to Cleveland, probably.
The NFL told you what they thought about you when you kept slipping round after round after round. And whether we think that it was because of attitude or because of off the field stuff, the bottom line is the NFL said you need a little work. And you know what? Maybe even need a little professionalization, and which is weird to say because Deion is has got the template right there, but he clearly needs like some guidance. And the Ravens were about to take you. What better organization to learn from? And then go out and spread your wings somewhere else.
What's the backup quarterback who's done something coming out of Baltimore?
Well, Snoop Huntley made it to the playoffs and made a Pro Bowl. We all joke about it. Lamar Jackson
Snoop Huntley just got cut by Cleveland.
I get it, but I'm just saying, you don't know when you're always one play away from playing anyway. And when you're getting into the fifth round, this is now, all right, where can I go that would set me up and build a foundation for my career? Okay. If this was Kansas City, would you also say that was a dumb idea to pass? I don't think you would.
That is a superior offensive coaching staff. Let me ask you a question, Maggie Gray. You're a quarterback. You're 23. You're very competitive. And you had a choice between going to Baltimore and backing up Lamar Jackson or going to a bad team and possibly getting in. What would you do?
See, but to your point, he didn't know exactly where he was going, right? So I would rather play anywhere than play in Cleveland. Anywhere. Because here's the thing. You go and play in Cleveland, sure, you might start one or two games. Let's see the laundry list of guys who have started one or two games for the Cleveland Browns, and we never heard from them again. Deshaun Kizer. I can go on and on and on.
I'm a quarterback. I want to play. I would 100 times out of every 100 times, I pick the bad team. And also, dude, there's a lot of quarterbacks last like 8 years have done some things in Cleveland. Stefanski's a two-time coach of the year. I would always play.
Even Baker Mayfield has now resurrected himself somewhere else.
But
odds of it happening in Cleveland are minuscule. So you might as well go somewhere else, actually learn good habits, and then maybe you go somewhere after that. You don't have to stay in Baltimore your whole career.
I've never met a quarterback who wanted a backup. It's just, you can't. Well, there's only one guy who plays at a time. And also, like, that's an odd backup spot, too, because Shador is nothing like Lamar Jackson.
That's true. But
if I'm looking around the league, I'm like, you know, I really want to be a backup in Baltimore. That's not a thing. I would rather compete to play.
Lamar Jackson, up until like 2 years ago, was hurt, and there was a big question about whether he should get paid because he missed games. I don't know. Could have been worse.
You just tried to sell us Snoop Huntley's career development in Baltimore. Because he made the Pro Bowl.
No, I'm just telling you that he got in. Like, you're saying you'll never, you know.
That's not a place to develop as a quarterback, necessarily, by definition. I mean, like, that's not, like, historically. Like, Andy Reid, you mentioned, that's a good spot.
Well, Todd Monken, I mean, coming from college, maybe you can develop a little bit behind him. Like,
Trace McSorley behind him for a long time? Like,
yeah, well, who is it now?
Cooper Rush.
Yeah, Cooper Rush.
Yeah, who is obviously not to be developed. He's a veteran. But, yeah, I don't know. I get the one to play for a bad team.
And he will,
by the way.
Trace is at Penn State coaching now, because I knew you guys were curious.
Yeah, thank you. Big Friendly, our pal in L.A. Big win yesterday for Friendly's Rams in Tennessee. What's up, Friendly?
The offense is creepy and they're spooky. The defense is stingy and they're stout. And he can catch almost anything. The Adams Ramily. Thank you for taking my call.
Devontae Daddy Adams cool. looks amazing.
Did you see that catch off the turf while he was diving, Magsy?
I did.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp had a pretty good game, too, by the way. Big friend.
Who's he play for?
He plays for Seattle.
I've seen number 10 get his first career sack yesterday for the Rams. So much respect to Cooper, but stay in Seattle.
Oh, you forgot him already, cool. huh?
Hey, I got nothing but respect for what he did for our team, but he is no longer a Ram, and number 10 is balling out. Now, Daddy Cool, Lamb Man has accepted that nickname. They spoke about it yesterday on the broadcast.
His name's Landman. He can't be like, sorry, it's Lindman. What did he say?
It's Landman.
Landman.
It's Landman, but he is going by the nickname.
Okay. I know they were talking about it for a while. They talked about it twice during the game. I don't know how it happened to, because I was trying to get a read on Cam Ward. But, Big Friendly, your Rams have not really done anything yet. I'm sorry. Like, what do we know about them? But we'll see this week.
Daddy Cool, I'm not here singing in the rain with an umbrella and twisting and shouting. I understand the Rams have not played two offenses that anybody is expecting to be top 10. We have played two defenses that are expected to be in the top 10. And now, Magsy, this is why I called.
Yeah.
Young lady, on Friday, when you wear that Ram shirt, Ram necklace, and you wear the two most beautiful colors in football, blue and gold on your face.
Yeah.
I would only ask if all of you there could sign it for me and mail it to me. I'd forever be in your debt. I would never be able to pay you back.
Yeah, we'll send it to you. Now, Big Friendly, I told you guys before, I went and bought the cheapest Rams t-shirt I could find on Amazon, which is a triple XL. But it's a woman's shirt. It's a woman's triple XL. So I'll send it to you, but you can't wear it, man.
No. Now, Maggie Malone, here's the funny thing, and let me explain to you how all my family.
Oh, we only got a second left.
Everything I have goes on the wall. I have shirts that are on the wall. It's going on the wall.
I'm honored. This will happen on Friday, Big Friendly. Thank you.
Gonna need a lot of wall for a triple X shirt.
This thing is gonna be like a dress. Anyway, EJ Stewart, thank you. Manny Rodriguez, thank you. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedo's coffee drinkers, everybody who called in today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.